peace without the Prince of Peace, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is truly the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we started this area last week, and I told you to make sure that you listen up, because the devil does not want you to hear the content of a sermon like this. He does not want you to believe that he exists, that he is real, and that he is out to get you. You think, well, I'm not much of a target for Satan. Satan hates any human being. Say, preacher, why? Because man was created in the image of God. And anything in God's image, Satan hates. You and I are created in the image of God, and Satan hates us. And he will do everything in his power to get you to go against what God wants you to do. Down to even, yes, demon possession. What better way to get you to fulfill the will of the devil and not fulfill the will of God than to possess you mind, body, and soul, then he can do with you whatever he wants. That's what we find in this picture of this man in Mark chapter number 5. A man totally given over to Satan, totally given over to his will, totally at Satan's disposal to do what Satan wants to do with him. Now, let me make one thing clear. There is only one devil. Lucifer, Satan, the fallen one, the accuser. There's only one of him. Chances are he probably is not in this man. But there's a whole bunch of other ones that are. By the way, you think there's only one devil, and you say correct, because there is. But there are plural, many devils. Just like there are many angels. There's Gabriel, the angel. There's Michael, the angel, the archangel. There's cherubims as angels. There's seraphims as angels. There's angels that look just like people. There are angels that have four faces. Amen. There are different orders of angels, and Satan has the same thing on the evil side. And he does not want anything good for you or for me. So we started this area last week, and we're looking at a man going from extraordinary sin to ordinary sanity. We saw, first of all, that the man's extraordinary sin was out of sight. What do I mean, out of sight? They put him out in the graveyard, in the tombs. Notice verse number 2, because the man was, first of all, spiritually unclean. Notice verse 2. It says verse 1 and 2, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him. He coming out was Jesus. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This is the demon-possessed man. He's spiritually unclean. Now, the Bible does not tell you how he got that way, but I gave you some suggestions last week as to how a person can get that way. Involved in the occult, involved in seances and tarot cards, involved in Ouija boards and anything of the occult. And may I shock you and let you know that much of Harry Potter is occult. Yes, sir, it is. And many of the incantations that they use for spells are real spells. Yeah. And when you, in innocency, do a cantation that will conjure up or invite a spirit in, guess what? You have the potential and the possibility to be demon influenced or demon possessed. So you want to go out here and wave your wand like Harry Potter and call all the things that he calls out? You are calling oftentimes on evil forces to come. Guard your children. Because in their innocency, they get them a little Harry Potter wand and go out there and say, blah, 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 bow. And guess what? They're calling them evil spirits. And guess what evil spirits will do? They will come. The same way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The demons will come. But I didn't invite them. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. How did the man get that way? We don't know. But there's a spiritually unclean man here. We saw there's a domestically unclean man as well. He's got his dwelling in the tombs. Notice verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind to him, and no, not with chains. So he's domestically unclean as well as spiritually unclean. Then we saw down there in verses 4 and 5, he's totally unclean. Notice verse number 4, he's unchainable and untamable. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. What am I saying? Unchainable and untameable. In verse 5, he's uncontainable and uncontrollable. Notice verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. You often find people crying for no reason at all that are demon-possessed. Why? They can't stand the fact of what's going on in their own life. They can't stand the fact of doing things that they don't want to do, but they have no control over what they do. That's oftentimes demon possession, uncontainable, uncontrollable, untamable, unchainable. But then we saw the man's ordinary sanity was within sight. Although they had his extraordinary sin out of sight, they put him out in the tombs, out there with dead people. Jesus had an appointment with this man. Amen for appointments with Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus saw you were worth making appointment with you, and one day he came to save your soul? Aren't you glad he came knocking at your door and said, today I want to save you? He told Zacchaeus, today I want to have supper at your house, Zacchaeus. He told Levi, sitting at the seat of custom, come and follow me. Today I got an appointment with you. February 3rd, 1991, he told my wife and myself, today I got an appointment with you. I'm so glad Jesus went out of his way to meet this man. The man's ordinary sanity was within sight. He sees a vision of hope in verse number 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, and then he saw a vision of help, he ran and worshiped him. And that's where we left off last week. This man seeing this vision of hope and seeing a vision of help. And you say, well, if Jesus is just coming over to the Gadarene area, if Jesus is just stepping off the boat and the man runs and meets him, how did the man know that was Jesus? The demons know who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. By the way, who do you think tells you not to come to church? The demons or God? Come on now, work with me. Who tells you not to get saved? The demons or God? Come on now. Who tells you to sin? The demons or God? Work with me. Who tells you to cheat on a husband or a wife? The demons or God? The demons. Who tells you to lie? The demons. Who tells you to do all sorts of bad things? The demons. They know who Jesus is. And so when this man with the demons is crying and cutting himself and uncontrollable and uncontainable and unchainable and untamable, the demons see Jesus. They come immediately to Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus because they know the end of their dwelling with this man is at an end. And so this man knows who who Jesus is. Why? The demons have told him, that's Jesus, he's going to come and mess with us. That's Jesus, he's going to come and do something. You need to run right over there because the demons can't run. They've got to run inside the man's body. So the demons say, hey, look, that man coming, that's Jesus. You need to go up to him and tell him a thing or two and tell him he just needs to leave us alone. Wait a minute. I'm from Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm here to tell you how you can be born again. You just need to leave me alone. What happened? The devils don't want people to get saved. You knock on somebody's door and they don't want to hear anything about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, and you as well. Amen. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Praise God for people like Steve Barlow. Knocked on Steve's door and he said, look, I'm going to come to your church. The pastor actually knocked on my door. I'm going to come. And the devil probably said, don't come, don't come, don't come, don't go, don't go, don't go. He heard the gospel, how God loved him. Jesus died for him. He was buried and rose again. Pastor White got a chance to lead him to Christ. And the devil fought that all the way. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. But you ain't me. And I'm going to do that. Hey, folks, I know what it's like. February 3rd, 1991, the devil gave me every excuse in the book why I shouldn't get saved. And gave me every reason why I thought I was saved. And was lost as a goose in a horse race. But he tried to tell me, you keep the Ten Commandments, you ain't so bad. I ain't so good either. You give money, you ain't so bad. I ain't so good either. You got baptized, you ain't so bad. I ain't so good either. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I got saved February 3rd, 1991, and hallelujah, my wife did too. The man's ordinary sanity was inside. He saw a vision of hope, saw a vision of help. Then we pick it up down there in verse number 7. The man's extraordinary situation. Let's notice the man's extraordinary situation. The man was possessed. The man possessed was not loose. The man possessed was not loose. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Notice verse number 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." What am I mean by the man possessed was not loose? Although he had broken the physical chains in verse number 3 and verse 4, he had not broken the spiritual chains that Satan had on him. He was bound. He was locked. He was bound in sin's chains. And although he broke the fetters, although he broke the chains off of him and was running around in the tomb free, he thought in his mind, "I'm free," but he was a captive to Satan. And the possessed man was not loose as he may have thought. "Well, I can run around the tombs. I can do whatever I want to do. Woo! I can go over to this gravestone and punch that gravestone. Woo! I can lay down on somebody's tomb." Who in their right mind would want to? So you may be loose, but you're still bound in sin. You're still shackled with Satan. So the man possessed was not loose as he may have thought. Oh, was he running loose in the graveyards in the tomb? Yeah, crying and cutting himself. I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like a good life for me. Physical chains were broken, but spiritual chains were not. Although this man was free of man's physical chains, the demons had him spiritually bound, and many are disturbed of demons and attest to hearing voices often telling them to kill themselves, commit lewd acts of sin like rape and murder and mass killings, the Twin Towers, etc. Who in their right mind would take a perfectly good plane and drive it into the side of a building to kill thousands of people? Who in their right mind would rape someone, whether male or female? Who in their right mind would take a machine gun out and kill thousands of people? Nobody in their right mind. They're demon-possessed oftentimes. Not saying all the time, but oftentimes they are. By the way, let me give you this. The God of heaven would never tell you to kill someone. Neither would God's angels. Jesus said, "I came to save men's life, not to destroy them." He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost, not to kill people." Jesus never lifted a finger at anyone to smite them or to hurt them. He healed. He raised the dead. He caused people to see. He caused people to speak. He did healings of lepers. Jesus was about the business of restoring, not killing. These people that are demon possessed, they want to hurt, they want to maim, they want to kill, they want to get on drugs, they want to hurt people sexually and immorally, they want to do all sorts of crazy things. That's not normal. Somebody say amen. You know it's true. We watch a television program, we say, "Man, nobody in their right mind would do that." Who's saying they are in their right mind? Drug use is prevalent among witchcraft and satanic cults. Why? They alter the mind, causing you to go into madness and do mad things and become a maniac like Charles Manson and many others. You read the accounts about these guys. There's nothing godly about that at all. Nothing at all. By the way, if the demons can occupy a person, they can hinder that person coming to Christ, thus fulfilling the devil's desire. Say, "Preacher, how could the demon hinder someone from coming to Christ?" Because he doesn't want you to be saved. Right. By the way, if you didn't notice this, the devil has never been to hell. And let me shock you one more. He is never going to hell. People say, "Why don't you go to hell, devil, where you came from?" He ain't going, neither will he ever be in hell. You read the account. He's going straight to the lake of fire. He's going to the pit to be bound for 1,000 years. He has never been in hell. Folks say, "Well, he need to go back to hell where he came from." Never been there. Guess what? Hell was created for people that reject God and God's authority. The lake of fire is there for Satan. Hell is just a holding tank for mankind until mankind gets to judge, to stand before God and be judged for their sins. And those people will be cast into the lake of fire. And Revelation says where the beast and the false prophet are, where Satan will be as well. Amen. So he's not even going to hell. But guess where he is right now? He's loose to roam this earth. You go back to the account of Job. And God said, "Where you been, Satan?" He said, "Been down the earth, walking to and fro, seeing who I can mess with." And God said, "Hey, you check out my servant Job." He said, "Yeah, but you got a hedge of protection around him. He said, but you let me at him, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, you can have him, but don't hurt him. He went down there and made him sick as a dog, took away everything he had, and he still didn't curse God. He cursed the day he was born, but he didn't curse God. Guess who won that battle? God. God did. What am I saying here? The man possessed was not loose. The devil wants to fulfill his desire. Notice verse number 8. For he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. By the way, Jesus can command the spirits. He did it all the time. And he said, come out of this man. I got an appointment with this man, and I want you to come out of him. And the man's possessor was called Legion. Notice verse number 9. And he asked him, now Jesus knew exactly who he was. What is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. The man's actions came as a result of his possession by these devils. Not one, not two or three, but a legion. They identified Jesus, and Jesus said, identify yourself. And they said, our name or my name is Legion. So the man, whatever his birth name may have been, now he says, my name is Legion. Why? Because there are many devils in me. By the way, y'all heard the story of the many faces of Eve? The lady's supposed to have all these multiple personalities. Folks, oftentimes that's demon possession. Demon possession. Legion. It says a legion is the largest unit of the Roman army. Anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. A legion is the largest unit of the Roman army, anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That's why he said, for we are many. This man could have been possessed by up to 6,000 demons. Wow. That lets you know why he was so strong. Verse number 3, notice what it says down there. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Why? He's got these demons in him, thousands of them. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, pulled apart completely, and by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. You ever see some of these guys with superhuman strength? The cops go to arrest them, and the cops can't get this person down. They keep going. The cops will shoot that person. They keep going. They keep fighting. He's just getting shot and shot and shot, and they're still going. Oftentimes, that's superhuman strength. Hey, folks, one bullet gonna put me down. I'm sorry. You don't need to hit me with one. But some of these guys, they get shot over and over repeated times, and they're still going, and they're still doing things. Oftentimes, that's superhuman strength, 3,000 to 6,000. Could have been in this man, which lets you know many demons possessed him. There are many, they said. That's why he was able to do those things. People that are possessed, usually have superhuman strength. Notice not only the man's possessor was called Legion, the man possessed was not loose, but the man's possessor asked for leniency, verse number 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. They asked Jesus not to send them out of the country. If you know anything about demons, if you know anything about the Bible, Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're familiar with the military, just imagine Satan as the commander in chief, which is our president. Our president commands the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guards, and all of the other reserves are underneath our president. And each one of them has a jurisdiction as to where they go in the world and what they do in the world. And our president controls that. Now take that same principle and put Satan at the top of evil and evil angels, and each one has a command of sorts. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness world, against spiritual wickedness. They all have their organized area, and they all have delegated authority to do what they're going to do, and they have specific areas that they're designated to, and count this, people to. So if you're saved here, you still have a demon assigned to you to stop you from doing what you ought to do for God. At least one. But on the good side, you still got at least one angel assigned to you as well. But unlike the angel, you have something better than an angel. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you. Amen. And the Spirit of God, greater is He that is in me than He is in the world. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You've got the angels fighting for you. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Son of God. You've got God Almighty. You've got the saints of God. You've got the church of God. You've got all the help that you need. So don't you ever get fearful of the devil and what he's doing. Because we have been placed on the winning side. Now, is he awesome in what he does? Yes, he is. But you don't have to fear him. No more than this man did. Why? Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. And so this demon says, don't send us out of the country. Why? It could be because that was their jurisdiction. And any place they go from here on, maybe back down to the pit to be locked up. I don't know. But I do know they said, don't send us out of the country. What's so special about this country? Maybe that's their area where they have been assigned. Then maybe there are going to be some repercussions from Satan. I don't know. I know this, they should be going to the pit. They should be getting chained up awaiting for the devil. However, Jesus gives them leniency. Why? I don't have a clue, but I'll give you one suggestion that I may have. For the Jew, swine were unclean animals. They should never have been messing with swine. And guess where they asked to go? Into the swine. And guess where the swine went? Into the sea. And guess what happened to the swine? They got choked. Guess what happened to the swine in that area? Non-existent. So possibly Jesus said, you shouldn't have been doing that anyway. Say, what's the equivalent? You catch one of your children doing drugs or drinking, and you go and throw their drugs in the trash or throw it down the toilet or you burn it up. You shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. Shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. You take away that which they're doing illegally, you take it away from them. Burn it up, trash it. You shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. What are you going to do? Give it back to him? Oh, here, take your alcohol. Here you go. Take your drug. Take your marijuana. Take your cocaine. Take your LSD. Go ahead. There you go. Here. I'm sorry I ever bothered you. No. No. What are you going to do? You're going to take it away. Just a thought. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus didn't let him do it. Maybe to get rid of the swine, they were unclean. Notice verse 11 through 14. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He let them do it. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, let's just do some quick math here. If the legion is 3,000 to 6,000 angels, 3,000 to 6,000 demons, let's just take 6,000. If there were 6,000 demons in this one man, going into these 2,000 swine, each swine could have had about 3 demons each. Three demons each. And 3 demons each caused them all to go over the cliff. Imagine what one will do to you and me. This man had 6,000. That lets you know why they put him out of sight, out in the tomb. That lets you know why he was out there unclean, totally unclean, spiritually unclean, morally unclean. That's why he was out there. And that's why he saw Jesus, a vision of hope and a vision of hell. When he saw Jesus, he said, look, I can get out of this predicament. I don't have to live like this anymore. I don't have to do this. My possessor said that I would be loose. And by the way, Satan will always lie to you and say you'll be better off with him and you'll be worse off with him. They'll tell you, do those drugs, that'll give you a freedom. Do that drinking, that'll give you a freedom. Do that sin, that'll give you a freedom. Do whatever it is, that'll give you a freedom. Shoot them, kill them, that'll make you feel better. Make you feel worse, because then you'll be locked up. Man's extraordinary situation. The possessed man was not loose. Man's possessor was called Legion, thousands. The man's possessor asked for leniency. So let us go into the swine. By the way, notice down there in verse number 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city, the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. All of their prophets went down to see. They saw what happened, and they go back to tell in the country, in the town, what happened. And by the way, it's a shame when swine would choose death over demons and man wants to live with them. Instead of going to God and get them taken out, going to Jesus Christ and confessing sins, instead of going to the Savior and get saved, the devil's convinced you that it's better off with them than it is with the God of heaven. How in the world can demons convince you that it's better with them than it is with God? He's good at what he does, because many are bamboozled with devils. Amen. You say, I would never believe that. All right, are you saved? Come on now. If you're not saved to today, then he already has you bamboozled. He already has you connived. He already has you hoodwinked. He already has you where he wants you, thinking that you're okay like I was, thinking I'm already saved because I got baptized, I went to church, I gave money, I wasn't so bad, although I wasn't so good. He already has you. And so that's a simple question. Are you born again? Are you saved? And if you can't say yes with confidence based upon the word of God, not religion, because it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion that'll save you, then you're already in the same boat with this man. You're possible and able to be possessed. Amen. I'm just saying. Notice the man's ordinary sanity. He's on the road to recovery. Now, after the demons were sent out into the swine and ran down the hill and drowned, they told of what happened in the city. They came out to investigate the story. Notice what they found. First of all, they found this man's ordinary sanity. The man was steady. Notice verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devils. Who was that? The legion. And had the legion, the man that was possessed, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now, they were afraid of him before. Now they're afraid of him after he gets saved. I don't know about you, but when, you know, I got saved and came back to work and said, went to my boss. He was a lieutenant colonel. I said, Colonel Blue, I got saved. He kind of gave one of them looks like, oh, don't be no holy roller now. I went to my first sergeant. Hey, sergeant, I got saved. Why don't you get saved? Oh, leave me alone. I'm too old for to get saved. They were afraid of me. They see me walking in the room, and guess what they do? Hey, how y'all doing? Hey. They were afraid of me. Hey, can I come over and play pinochle with y'all? We're not going to play today. Drive by and see all the cars. I thought y'all wasn't playing today. Oh, we changed our mind. Why y'all didn't call me? We didn't think you wanted to come. They were afraid of me. I thought, I got something good here. I got saved. Y'all still in y'all sin. And I didn't even go tell them that. I didn't say y'all are still in y'all sin. Y'all ought not be doing that. Y'all ought to quit this. I just went in and said, man, I found Jesus, and man, it's good to be saved. And they were like, we don't want any of that. No, we're quite all right the way we are. I thought so too. But man, was I wrong? We're okay. We're okay. They were afraid of him. The man was steady. He's sitting in clothes. This is a picture of a man, woman, boy, or girl with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What happened? This man is different. He's sitting. He's clothed. He's not cutting. He's not running. He's not crying. He's not in the tombs anymore. He wants to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. That's what happens when somebody comes to know Christ. They want to know more about him, not less. Not less. Man was steady, he's sitting and clothed in his right mind. Psalm 119:9 says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. As the town people approached the forbidden area of the man, they saw something their eyes had never seen before in this area from this man. He was sitting and he was clothed. You read Luke's account. Luke's account says he wear no clothes. Amen, G2. He wear no clothes. But he was sitting and he was clothed. He was stabilized, sitting and fully suited with clothes. There's something about that that was impossible before, because before no man could bind him and neither could any man tame him, according to verse number 3 and number 4. But guess what? Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. Guess what? Jesus Christ is the man God, the God man. Guess what? Jesus Christ can do the impossible. Guess what? Jesus Christ can command the spirits. Guess what? Jesus can walk on water. Jesus can do what other men can't do. Yes, nobody could tame him in verse 3 and 4. But guess what? Jesus is not like other men. He's not like other men. Notice what it says down there in verse number 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Jesus came down there and said, but I can. Now the possessed is really loose. Now he's really loose. Before, he just thought he was loose, but he wasn't really loose. Now he's really loose. Amen. We're going to have to go quickly here. Y'all going to follow me here real quick. You come down here, the man is clothed in his right. Where did the clothes come from? I don't know. Maybe the disciples gave him something. Said, man, you naked. You need to put something on. Amen. That's a shame. It's a shame out here. I know ain't nobody out here but dead people, but you need to put something on. We're about to take you into town. Amen. You better put some clothes on here. Peter, give him your cloak. Hey, John, give him something. Put something on. Amen. Maybe they gave him clothes. I don't know. But I know what, that's how steady, sane men ought to be, amen, sitting and clothed and in their right mind, amen. Here he's stabilized, he's sitting, he's fully suited with clothes. Not only that, one step further, he was stable, not just sitting, steady, he was stable in his right mind. He's now able to sit and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and learn. What was it before? A maniac running around the tombs, cutting himself, crying, and acting the fool. Now the Bible says he's clothed and sitting. And in his right mind, what happened? He was steady now. He's stable. No longer does he have someone or something that's altering his mind, because he no longer is plagued in his mind by demons. And I'm sure the Lord's probably telling him, now, son, go and sin no more, lest the worse of fate come to you. Now, son, let me tell you a little bit about what you need to do. By the way, when a person gets saved, they ought to bring their salvation into the house of God and get a check and find out what they have. And you ought to get discipled to see what you have. And you ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to learn the word of God. Amen and amen. This man is clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet. Men don't want to come to church. There's a problem with your salvation. Amen. Amen. You don't have to amen it. It's all me. I'm just saying. Preacher, what's wrong with me? You're not in your right mind. Because everybody got saved, stayed with Jesus. Amen. Let's go on here. Preacher, quit picking on me. He's now able to sit and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and learn what it means to be free of the shackles of Satan and sin. He has a serene mind now. He has joy unspeakable and full of glory. Demons want people to alter their minds by drugs and alcohol. That makes their job easier. Nowadays, there's little need to get illegal drugs, because the doctors will put you on prescription drugs quicker than you can shake a stick. My child has a problem paying attention in school. Whoop him! Let me stop that, okay? Chasing them. When I had a problem paying attention in school, my mother came home and made me pay attention to something else. And guess what? I went back to school the next day and I paid attention. Nowadays, little Johnny won't pay attention in school. Let's make him feel good about himself. No! He should never feel good about sin. Shooting spitballs at the teacher. Oh, he just has a hyper imagination. You better give him a hyper bottom. I'm just saying. They'll put kids on prescription drugs quicker than you will shake a stick, so the parents don't have to do their job at home. Somebody say amen. Parents, do your job at home. You don't got to worry about when they go to school. The teachers very rarely had to deal with me about the same thing twice. Why? When they dealt with me the first time, I went home and mama dealt with me. And guess what? I came back to school the next day a little tough to sit down. Greg, don't you want to go to recess and play baseball? Yeah, because sitting here is not good for me. Ooh. You're like, good job, pal. Oh, don't do that. No. What happened? You know that thing I did to the teacher the other day? I ain't gonna do that no more. I ain't gonna do that. I had to write a correction applied to my seat of knowledge. I'm a little wiser now. They put the children on prescription drugs now and have their minds altered before they even get out of grade school. You got so many children on drugs now that really don't need to be. The parents just need to do their job at home. The Bible gives you clear instructions on how to do it. If you deal with your child in love, there is no government here that can accuse you of anything if you do it right. If you do it the Bible way, there is no government that can hold you accountable if you do it right. Now, if you go to vent your anger on a kid, I told you, and I don't do it no more, and pow, and pow, and pow, that is not the right way. That is not the right way. Never discipline your children in anger. Don't try and take the anger and the frustration out on their backsides. The problem is not that, it's sin. And it's sin against God. And we've got to put things in perspective. I don't know how we got on that, but amen. Reliving my childhood, amen. The devils and the world would say, alter your mind, don't deal with reality and your sin. And by the way, when you don't deal with a child and their disobedience, and you've got to put them on a drug, they have not learned to deal with reality. And the rest of their life, they got to be on a drug to deal with reality. Amen. Well, they was trying to strangle a kid. Okay, strangle something else. They'll learn that you don't do that. But if you got to put him on drugs so he won't strangle at age 4, when he's age 40 and can't get a drug, guess what he's going to do? He's going to strangle somebody. He's stronger now. He's got 40 years now of age to do. But you have sedated him as a child and repressed the reality that there are mean people out there that really will do him harm and that will maybe hurt him, and he hasn't dealt with that. And so he goes out there and he will hurt somebody. I'm just saying, we put children on drugs too early that don't need to be on drugs. And the problem is, in reality, is sin and Satan. And all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. They need a Savior. They need Jesus Christ. They don't need medications. When Jesus comes in, the madness and mania and maniacal behavior goes out. Amen. They found this man steady. He was stable. And as a result of them finding him steady and stable, they had the nerve to tell Jesus to stop and leave. Notice verse 16. And they saw it and told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning his wife. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Jesus, would you get out? They told Jesus to leave. I mean, the man nobody could control, nobody could contain, nobody could tame this man. He's crying, he's cutting himself. You had to take him and put him outside, out of everybody's sight. He saw the Jesus Christ, he saw the help, he saw the hope. Jesus cast the demons out. The swine are gone. You're not with these unclean animals anymore. And you want me to leave. A great miracle is done here, and you want me to leave? You want me to leave? You know, the tragedy of this is you get a good worker, good employee that does things the Bible way. They're one of the first ones to get fired. They'll go in, they'll tell the truth. They won't mess around. They'll be punctual. They'll be on time. They'll do everything right. And they're one of the first ones to get fired. One of the first ones to get fired. Because for doing right. You know why? They bring conviction on people. Bring conviction. I remember my boss wanted me to fudge some documents. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, well, yeah, do it. I said, well, if you sign saying you made me do it, I'll do it. You know, he refused to sign that document. Wow. I said, you put it in writing saying I made Sergeant Dawson sign these papers so I could have this thing. I said, I'll do it. He looked at me and just walked away. Probably got somebody else to sign it. But I was in charge of the vehicle, so you can't get a vehicle without me. And he wanted to take it out and go joyriding with his family. Get a vehicle and sign it out. He's probably going to get one of the nice cars too. I said, no, he ain't doing that. I said, no. They told Jesus to stop and leave. Amen. Imagine asking Jesus to leave. They had no clue what they were asking. Amen. But the question is, are we listening to demons? Amen. They may not be able to possess us, but if we're saved, they can sure influence us by what we do, where we go, what we say, what we hear, what we drink, what we smoke, what we take legally or illegally. They are just looking for a way to control you. If they can't possess you, they're looking for a way. Jesus is trying to teach this man what he needs to do, and they're saying, get out of town. Notice the man's ordinary, sane step at the end. Notice verse number 18. And when he was come into the ship, Jesus conceded. He said, okay, I'll go. He's in his ship. He that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. That's the sanest person in the bunch. He wanted to be like the disciples. He said, look, you got 12 with you. How about 13? I know it's an unlucky number if we could use that term, amen. But let me get on in the boat with you. Can I go? Can I go with you? He said, you got 12? How about 13? He asked Jesus to go. He used to hang out with dead people. Now he wants to be with delightful people. He used to hang out in the tombs. Now he wants to be with a teacher. He used to stink and stab himself. Now he wants to study and stabilize himself with Jesus. He wanted to go with the 12. Company living with company with the living was better than company with the dead. Amen. Jesus told him there was something else he needed to do. Notice verse 19. Jesus said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus said, go home, tell somebody else what I did for you. I got to go. I'm going to take my 12 with me, but you go on home and you let people know what happened to you. He was told to go and tell everybody what great things God had done for him. I don't know about you, but I was excited that I was saved and I wanted to tell everybody I could. My family, my friends, my sisters, my brother, everybody I want to. There's something about being excited about when God saves your soul and frees you and looses you from the shackles of sin and Satan. There's something about having my sanity. There's something about being in my right mind. There's something about being sitting and clothed. There's something about having Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's something about knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. There's just something about that you can't keep it into yourself. You just can't keep that in. You win the lottery, you'll tell somebody about that. Unless you're ashamed of playing, which you should be. Amen. He was told to tell everyone what great things God had done for him. But then how would they respond? How long had it been since he'd been in the town? Would they listen? How many remembered how he used to be and got into this predicament while they put him out in the first place? By the way, that's not his concern. His concern was, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. Jesus didn't say anything about put some conviction on them, put some guilt trip on them, make them feel bad about their sin. He didn't say anything about going and telling them they're all wrong and they're going to hell. He didn't say, look, you ain't right with God. You need to get right with God. He just said, go tell them what happened to you. That's what a witness does. Don't try to put a guilt trip on somebody else because of how they live. Just tell Jesus. I'm sure this guy's probably thinking, go home and tell them. They're going to think I'm a lunatic. You was. They're going to think I'm mad. You was. But you're not no more. Imagine going home to his wife and kids if he was married, or his mom and dad, or his sisters and brothers and his friend. Imagine what kind of reception he got. What would they think? Don't worry about it. Was it good news? Then don't worry. It's still good news. Just tell them what happened. Folks, this is exactly what I said when I went to work the next day. I got saved yesterday. That's exactly what I said. And you know what they did? They looked at me like, we don't know what to make of this. I said, I got saved yesterday. Man, I went to church. They gave me an invitation. I said, man, I got saved. I received Christ. They said, well, what does that mean? I said, I don't know, but I ain't going to hell. I said, I ain't going to hell. They said, so, but what does that mean? I said, I don't know, but I said, I ain't going to hell. I'm saved. I didn't have a clue. I just knew I wasn't going to hell. And before I was, I wasn't trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, make anybody feel bad about their lifestyle. I just told what God had done for me, had compassion on me, and how great things he had done for me. I went home, told my friend, I hadn't read the Bible. I didn't know the Bible said that. I didn't know the Bible said, go ye therefore teach all nations. I didn't know any of that. I had good news. I want to tell somebody. First ones I told was my parents. I called them up on the phone all the way from Belgium, Pastor White. Had to keep putting that money in that pay phone. Man, I hated that. That was an expensive call. Amen. Told them I was saved. No, Jesus didn't say, go and make them believe. He just said, go tell them. Amen? You, by the way, you can't make somebody believe. If they didn't believe by his word and his testimony alone, they ain't going to believe. You can beat them till they blue in the face. They not going to believe. The man proceeded to publish in Decapolis. Notice verse 20. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And what's the end of that say? And all men did marvel. You know why they marvel? He probably went to town and said, hey, you know what? Remember that old man crying out in the tomb, cutting himself and crying? They looked at him all sophisticated. They said, yeah, man, we used to hear that crying and all that, that wailing, all that stuff. My dad said, that was a crazy man out there. I'm that man. You're that man? Yeah, I'm that man. But I met Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was possessed with devils and legion, and thousands of devils was in me. And I saw Jesus. I knew he could help me. I knew he was my hope, and I ran to him. The demons said, look, put us in the swine, and they cast him in the swine, and the demons ran out there. Don't you remember all them townspeople going out there about them swine that got killed? Yeah, my daddy worked for them swine. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, man, they went out there, and guess what they said? They saw me sitting and clothed and in my right mind. I'm a new man. Now I'm born again. I'm saved. I wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no. He said, go home and tell. So I'm telling you. Wow. How can I get like that? You need to meet Jesus. You need to meet Jesus. The Bible says he began to publish it and all men did marvel. What am I saying? This man went from extraordinary sin to ordinary sanity. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Hey, folks, all of us are tainted with sin. And all of us have the potential to be like this man in some degree. I'm not saying you're going to be out in the tomb running and cutting yourself, but all of us have potential to be like this man, whether it's by possession or influence. We have the potential to be like, it's only by the grace of God that we're not. And some of you may be leading a double life. You may be that way at home. Don't lead a double life. This man was sitting and clothed in his right mind. He said, Jesus, I want to be with you. We should want to be with Jesus in his house with his saints, reading his word, growing. Decapolis was the region southeast of the Sea of Galilee where 10 cities were located. This man was told to tell all his friends in that area, we were once like this man, but now we're saved. Some of us are saved. And we're told to tell somebody what happened to us. Don't put a guilt trip on anybody. You don't have to put conviction up to someone what happened to you. I'm saved. Why do you go to church? I'm saved. I'm saved. Why are you going back tonight? I'm saved. What you going to learn? Bible. Come see. Come and see. That's what they said. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Hey, come and see. Come and see. See for yourself. My parents wanted to see so bad, they came all the way from Georgia to Belgium to see. He went home to tell his friends how great things he had done. The Bible says all men did marvel. That's his first ordinary step. Go tell. Go tell. Amen. How about you today? Maybe your past is checkered. Maybe like, not like this man. But maybe sin had you wrapped up and had its control of you. And then you got saved. Jesus wants you to go and tell somebody else how great compassion he's had on you, what he did for you, how he saved you. You don't have to make somebody believe. You don't have to try to convince them. Just live your life for Christ, and they will see. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you have an opportunity to be possessed by the devils. And God doesn't wish that. You and I were created for God and for God's honor and for God's glory. And God wants you to come to him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you saved here today? If you are, go tell somebody what great things God has done for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. I know we went a little bit long today, folks, but I wanted to finish this out. Father, bless now in the next moments of invitation. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that has seen Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has pricked their heart, that man, woman, boy, or girl would do what you are calling them to do, and that's get saved. I pray if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl, they've been influenced by Satan and sin. Lord, they would come to you and ask you to give them the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge not to do what they're doing. And that, Lord, you, with the power of the Holy Spirit, would break the shackles of sin in their life. Lord, there are those that have not strayed, and the shackles of sin are keeping them, help them not to get wrapped up with pride. The Bible says that a man that thinketh that he stands needs to take heed lest he fall. So Lord, work in this invitation. Maybe there's one that needs to be saved. Help that man to come. Maybe that woman needs to come. Help her to come. Maybe that child needs to come. Help them to come. Maybe Christians just need to come and pray. Work in their hearts. Thank you for loving us. Lord, guide, direct, and lead. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many people say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian right now. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I was to die, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I won't pick you out. I won't call you. But you do need to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm not sure I'm a Christian here today. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Just want to pray for you. I won't call you out. But I do want to pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Let me put it down. Anyone else? Man, woman, boy, or girl? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Amen. Next question is this, Christian, to you. I'm saved, I know I'm saved, but I know that the devil is trying to influence me. Preacher, pray for me that I can stay clear of those influences that want to draw me and drag me down. Pray for me, man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, amen. I see several hands going up all over, amen. Amen, Satan's real, and he's really out to get us, amen. You may put him down. If you don't fall for his first tactic, he will try again. And he will often try to get you in your weak spot. Don't let him in. Ask God to give you the strength and the grace you need. Father, I pray for these that raise their hand, one saying they're not sure that they're saved. Lord, give the assurance there. Help them to come and let us take a Bible and deal with them. Then others saying, I know I'm saved, but the devil with his influence is trying to drag me down. Lord, I pray that you might gird them about with your strength and your wisdom. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and help them to rely upon the Word of God, that they will steer clear of the devil's tactics that he tries to put against them. And normally it's a besetting sin that he uses. Strengthen us and gird us about. Lord, bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed just for a moment. As the music plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Let God speak to your heart. Christians are praying. Maybe you raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. We'd love to help you and get it settled, but you've got to make that move. You've got to come to us. I can't come to you, but you can sure come to me. Say, preacher, I raise my hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm concerned about it. Would you have someone take a Bible and show me how I can be saved? We'll do that. Maybe there's a besetting sin that you have. Say, preacher, I'm going to come and pray for myself. Or maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Folks, this account in the Bible is real, and it happens every day in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. There are people that are demon-possessed, and Satan is trying to get the best of their life, and Satan is trying to ruin their life. And if he can't possess you, he will try to influence you. And he will try to influence you by telling you not to do what God wants you to do. And if he's influencing you in that way, you've got to come to God and say, God, fill me with thy spirit. Help me to do what I know I need to do. Christians are praying. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. God spoke in your heart, why don't you come? Christians are already praying. The devil is real and he'd really like to destroy your life. He really would like that. This man, possessed with these thousands of demons, had sense enough to know that if I can just get to Jesus, there's help and there's hope. Let me encourage you, there's help and there's hope in Jesus Christ. How about it today? There's help. There's hope. This man's end was much better eternally than his beginning. How did he get that way, preacher? We don't know. How do people get possessed with devils? We know certain ways, but we don't know every way. But I'm so glad he met Jesus. I'm so glad that February 3rd, 1991, my wife and I met Jesus. And oh, I'm not perfect. I've got a long way to go, but I'm so glad that I'm sitting and I'm clothed and I'm in my right mind. And although I'm far, far away from what I need to be, I'm not what I used to be. Christian, go tell someone how God has had compassion on you and the great things he's done for you. Go home, he said to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. And I'm sure that was the talk of those 10 towns. What happened to that possessed man? That maniac? That crazy man? Oh, people might be afraid of you. But oh, many will marvel. And they will ask too, what can I do to know that same Jesus that you know? Father, thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for meeting our needs today, Lord. Thank you for what the end result is of this possessed man. Lord, his beginning was scary, and the Lord leaves little to be desired. But Lord, I'm so glad you didn't leave this man as you found him. When he confronted you at the shoreline there, coming out of the tomb, Lord, you restored him. And Lord, saved him and had him clothed and sitting and in his right mind. Lord, thank you that you can do the same thing to any man, any woman, any boy or girl. I do pray for that one again that raised their hand, and for the many that raised their hand and saying the influence of Satan is strong. They don't want to give in to his tactics and his devices. Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit. Uphold us by your word. And lead us with a testimony of how good God is, Lord. Bring us back tonight at our determined time, Lord, and pray that you'll bless in what happens and what we think, what we say, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, folks.